Daniel chapter 9, we'll look at Daniel's 70 weeks a little bit here this morning. Verses, about 20 through 27 or so. So this is where we look at Daniel's 70 weeks, and we look at the book of Revelation and other parts of the Bible, and we see how God's not through with Israel. He had appointed 70 weeks on His people Israel, and we'll see these weeks are weeks of years. In Genesis 29, we'll look at that in just a minute, but let's go ahead and read down through here in Daniel chapter 9 a little ways, beginning in verse 20. It says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah and the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and the end, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant of many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." So we're looking here at Daniel being given this vision, given understanding about this vision of 70 weeks. And it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So he's talking to Daniel, his people are the Jews. So this 70 weeks is determined on the Jews. It's not a Gentile prophecy. It's not a Gentile vision. It's a Jewish vision. He's talking about Daniel's people. And again, it also talks in the Bible about the time of Jacob's troubles. And when you get up to the 70th week, so we know it's dealing with Israel. So these weeks are weeks of years, and we know that a week is not technically a seven-day period. It's a group of sevens. And if you look back at a group of seven, if you look back at Genesis 29, in Genesis 29, we're looking at Jacob. And Jacob had went to Laban to get a wife. He wanted Rachel. And he worked 7 years for her, and Laban gave him Leah. And then he goes to Laban and he says, "Hey, what's going on here?" And this is where we'll look at the weeks. It says in verse 27, "Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also." So that week was a 7 year period. And when we're looking at the Jews dealing with the weeks, it's a group of seven, a week is. It's not 7 days like we use the word week. There's nothing wrong with using the word week for a 7 day period, but we see there are weeks of years here, and that's what we're looking at in Daniel 9. And that's where we get that. So it's 70 weeks, which are weeks of years. So 70 weeks would be 490 years. So we'll get that to start with, and then we'll look at going down through these verses again. 70 weeks, verse 24, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So a lot, there's some folks running around there saying, well, that's already happened in the past. So that's something that's in the past. Well, the problem with that is it's prophesying a 490-year period, and we'll look at the beginning point of that here in just a little bit, but when has all this stuff ever happened? This stuff has never come to pass. Not all of it. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. I mean, they can say, well, Jesus Christ is everlasting righteousness. Well, you're really stretching he is, but you're really stretching to say that was all fulfilled here. And to anoint the most holy. So you make different arguments about that, but we know that this 70th week has not happened yet. Now we'll look and see what it says. It says, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So in Ezra and Nehemiah time, they got the command to restore, and that was about 450 BC. Around 450 BC. And it says that 7 week period, and then 62 weeks, you add that together, it's 69 weeks. So in 69 weeks, then it says, Messiah shall be cut off. Well, I did break this marker. I don't know what happened to it. But not for himself, so 69 weeks is 483 years. So you go from 450 BC to the crucifixion, you've got 483 years. So the Messiah is cut off. Then it says, well, let's read down through 25 and 26 here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and into the end of the war desolations are determined. So it talks about the Messiah being cut off, and then it talks about the prince that is to come. I was talking about the Antichrist. And talking about being destroyed with a flood, look at Revelation. Oh, where is that? Revelation, I think it's 12. Revelation 12. So Revelation 12, the Antichrist is trying to get rid of the woman Israel, trying to get rid of Israel. And let's start in verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and time and a half, a half time, from the face of the serpent. So there we're looking at the woman taken into the wilderness, and that's go back to the Old Testament, you see Israel in the wilderness, and how are they what happens in the wilderness? They're nourished for a time and times. They're nourished out in the wilderness, and that's what he's going to do there. They're going to flee, and God's going to take care of them. Why are they fleeing? Because the devil's trying to kill them. They won't take the mark of the beast. They won't worship the beast. It says in verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up, opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So, it's talking about the story of the city, the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. So he cast out that water. It's destroying things, and he's doing it to get rid of the woman, Israel. But God, he's not worried about the city. He's going to rebuild all that stuff anyway. We're going to have a new earth, amen. He's worried about Israel, so he's protecting Israel. And probably an earthquake or whatever God does, that earth opens her mouth and drinks up that water so the flood doesn't wash away Israel, the people. But that's what it's talking about in Daniel chapter 9. It's talking about that flood. And it's talking about the Antichrist, and it says in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. So, since Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, now we have this church age. Where God has turned to the Gentiles, and Jew and Gentile are one in Christ, and when they get saved. So there's no Jew or Gentile in this church age for saved people. So at the end of this, he promised 70 weeks on Daniel's people. 69 have been completed. After 69 weeks, the Messiah is cut off. Now we've got the church age. There's still a 70th week we're waiting on. Well, we're waiting on the rapture, but there's still a 70th week that the Bible says is going to happen, so it's going to happen. And up here, tribulation time of Jacob's troubles, the time appointed to Daniel's people, that 70th week, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So he confirms the covenant. For seven years. Halfway through that thing. So he comes back. Remember in Revelation chapter 6, he comes back. The Antichrist comes. He comes with a bow and no arrows. So he's coming in peace. Or something similar to peace. He's offering peace. Interesting thing with the bow with the arrows is that you go back to the Old Testament, Nimrod, which is the first type of the big type of the Antichrist in the Bible. He was an archer, a hunter. And here, the Antichrist comes with a bow and no arrows. And you know, Revelation 6, that's the Antichrist that's coming back. And God knows what he's doing, so he put it in 6. Amen. Number of man. And later on, when the next person shows up on a white horse, it's Jesus Christ. Revelation 6, the Antichrist shows up with one crown, a bow, and no arrows. So he's coming to proclaim his kingdom, and he's going to take it through peace, the semblance of peace. And Jesus Christ comes back, he's got many crowns. And we're not going to get too far into that, but that's in Revelation 6, we're dealing with the Antichrist. He comes back, he doesn't make a covenant with them, he confirms a covenant. See, they already have some promises, and they're looking for some of these promises to be answered. He comes back and confirms it like he was Jesus Christ. He comes back and says, hey, I'm the one you're looking for, and I'm going to bring you peace. So this first 3.5 years, they have a semblance of peace here, but I believe that's the time that Moses and Elijah are walking the earth and upsetting people and breathing fire on those that are their enemies. And the second 3.5 years, at the middle time, the beast, the devil, the Antichrist the beast is injured to death. He comes back as a full-blown Antichrist and turns on Israel and tries to destroy Israel. So that last 3.5 years, it is hell on earth, because things are coming out of hell. And God's dumping out wrath. The devil's having his heyday with things coming out of hell. And then Jesus Christ comes back. Battle of Armageddon. And defeats the beast, the false prophet, casts him in a lake of fire. And then we have 1,000-year reign of Christ. So, when you're looking at the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at 70 weeks determined on Daniel's people. And that time where they were issued the authority, given the authority to go back and rebuild, was around 450 B.C. You go forward 69 weeks of years, 483 years. Messiah's cut off, but not for himself, right? He's cut off for us. He's cut off for the world. He didn't do anything wrong. So he didn't die for his sins. He died for yours and mine. So we got this 450-year period. Messiah's cut off. They don't accept Jesus Christ. So we have the church age, which is a pause in that 70 weeks. So there's a gap between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. And that beginning of that 70th week starts right here. Upside down and sideways. So it starts right there. And 3.5 years of that looks pretty good. You know, they're probably all, you know, the Pope's probably all there leading their song service with the rock concert, and they got their gay flag out there and they're doing all their stuff. And you got the Catholics and the Muslims and the Jews all out there just celebrating because the rockets aren't being fired anymore. And everything's great except those two guys that aggravate them. Moses and Elijah. If they just quit breathing fire and burning people up, they'd be all right. But they just have exactly what they wanted. They'd have the kingdom they wanted. And then the next thing you know, halfway through that thing, the Antichrist, full-blown Antichrist, comes on the scene and goes after them, and they're like, oops, you know. But God saves Israel, sends them into the wilderness and protects them. And just, I believe it, you know, you read this verse right here, and it says, we're reading it in Revelation, where it talks about them going in the wilderness and God nourishing them and taking care of them. I believe wholeheartedly he's going to do it just like he did in the Old Testament. I believe the ravens will bring him bread and flesh. I believe there'll be water coming out of a rock. I believe he'll rain manna from heaven. And there's some questions about, you know, the days being shortened. There may possibly be the truth that the day time is shortened so the Antichrist can't get to him. If you remember in the Old Testament, the reason I think that's possible is because, or possibly one thing that happens is because in the Old Testament, when Moses led the children out, God was a pillar of fire. He gave them light, and he caused darkness to go on the enemy. So they would stop at night, wouldn't pursue them. So their days are shortened. Another thing I was thinking about the other day, what would the Antichrist really want to do? I believe the devil knows the Bible really well. Amen. And I believe he knows this is coming, 1,000-year reign. So, he'd really like to have 1,000 years right here. Yeah. He'd like to reign for 1,000 years, because then he could be just like the Lord. So, maybe possibly God says that's going to be a 7-year period. If it was 1,000 years, maybe he'd be able to destroy all the Jews. Maybe God comes back and cuts that down to a 7-year period when he comes back to Battle of Armageddon. That's just something to think about. I don't know, saying it's a Bible doctrine or anything. But I'm glad the devil knows that 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth is coming, and he'd really like to have that same thing, because he wants to mimic Christ. He wants to be God. And he can't do that because the job's already taken and he's not as godly as God. Amen. But that's basically what the Daniel 70 weeks is about. We went over this a long time ago. I wanted to go over it again since we're in the midst of craziness and everybody's wondering what's going on all the time with the world. So Revelation 12 talks about that flood, talks about the earth swallowing up the water. And in Revelation 19, the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ comes back, defeats the beast and the false prophet, binds the devil for 1,000 years, and Jesus rules and reigns with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Then you get the battle of Gog and Magog, cast the devil into the lake of fire, the judgment seat of Christ, and then new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem on into eternity. But that's basically the Daniel 70th week that we're looking at, looking forward to happening after we're out of here, and matches up with Revelation. You can't really understand the book of Revelation without Daniel and vice versa. You got to have those two books together, and a lot of other books. If you're looking at Daniel 9 and different parts of Daniel and Revelation, and Zechariah and Zephaniah, Malachi, there are different books in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, you can, in Isaiah, you can see how this stuff fits together. And Zechariah, Zephaniah, Ezekiel, they make more sense in the light of Daniel 9 and Revelation. Another thing we've talked about before is Isaiah. Isaiah is here our Bible's got 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Our Bible has 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. And Isaiah has 39 books that match up with the Old Testament, and then 27 books that match up with the New Testament. There's a line right there where you can see it crossing into the New Testament in prophecy. But just an interesting thing. Any questions? Sister?
7 years
and all about. Yeah. Yeah, because we're out of here. I didn't mention that. I didn't mention it. We come back with him here, but we're out of here at the end of the church age, and then the 70th week begins.
But there will be Gentiles in 7 years.
Yeah, whoever's left that's alive, that's lost. Yeah. And, in the Old Testament, the Gentiles could get in through the Jewish system. That's what it's going back to, a Jewish system, because it's focused on the Jews. So there will likely be Gentiles. There might even, I don't know if there'll be Gentiles that are with the Jews that run into the wilderness. It looks like it's just for the Jews. But there'll definitely be Gentiles and folks that'll be beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast. And I'm not sure there'll probably be Jews and Gentiles beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast and not worshiping the beast. But those are people that keep the testimony of Jesus Christ, and it's faith and works. They have to do some works and not do some things to get to be right with God. That changes back to an Old Testament type setting here after the end of the church age. But yeah, that 3.5, that 7 year period is focused on the Jews to get them turned back to the Lord. Yeah, there's some different things you get in the Old Testament about 7 year periods and stuff like that. And but the main thing you want to realize is this last 3.5 years. First of all, Jesus Christ's earthly ministry didn't start till he was 30. He had 3.5 year ministry on this earth. So the Antichrist is going to have a 3.5 year ministry. But also, the reason that this terrible wrath is allowed is because they crucified, rejected their Messiah, and they said his blood be upon us and upon our children, upon our children's children. That's why the reason they keep going through all this stuff. And Hitler, and you can go on down the line of different people that have persecuted the Jews, and well, the whole world's against the Jews. Most of the people that aren't are only pretending to care because for financial reasons. You know, there's a lot of that involved. And the reason over history a lot of people become friends with the Jews is the Jews were prosperous. They were prosperous. So a lot of these rich folks that say, "Well, we want the Jews." They never really wanted the Jews to have their land back. They wanted to prosper with the Jews, and they never wanted to give it all back to them. And technically, they never lost the land anyway, because there's always been Jews over there. There really are no Palestinians. That's a made up thing. There have always been Jews there, and even under, according to man's laws of war and things, when they were defeated and run out of there, they didn't all leave. Yep. And they always had a right to that land. Right. We know they do because of the Bible, but outside the Bible, they always had a right to that land. Yep. By man's laws. So they never really lost that land. So the Palestinians, and the Palestinians aren't even a pure people. It's just a ragtag bunch of mess over there, and they call themselves the Palestinians like they own that land, and there aren't really Palestinians. The first Palestinians were really the Jews.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I mean, it's their land. And it's God's land. He gave it to them, and he's going to give it back. He's going to make sure it's all straightened out. That's the reason it's so dangerous that, you know, Trump and all the rest of these people want these two-state solutions. That's dangerous.
Right.
What we need is Jesus Christ come back with that one-state solution.
Amen.
But that two-state solution, everybody that's always done that, remember, who's running Israel now? Who's the
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu? Who was it before when Bush was in there? I'm trying to think of his name. Well, anyway, they get together and they're trying to give away the Jews' land. Bush and, you know who I'm talking about. Well, at the time, what happened is we get hurricanes and all this stuff start hitting, and then he gets his egg scrambled. He loses his mind. I can't remember the guy's name, though. He was, but anyway, it doesn't matter if you got a Jew and a Gentile both trying to go against God's word, and God slaps this country with some major issues. And if I remember right, it seems like Bush's home and a lot of their homes were hit and destroyed up there, their bigwig mansions. A lot of that area was destroyed up there. And that's God's mercy just going, hey, look, you better cool it and leave them Jews alone, leave that land alone, quit trying to give my land away.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll remember that guy's name when we get out of here. But
I've heard through that land where God was stripping soap on it. Nobody ever wanted until the Jewish people came back and then they made it, broke the land flourish and stuff, and then they want something to do with it. But before that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a piece of desert over there that you couldn't do anything with until God blesses it. He blesses it because of Israel. And yeah, it's just a mess. Just a mess. The Lord's going to fix it, though. Anything else? Brother?
In Revelation 22:18-19, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the word and promise you of the book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away this part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from things that are written in this book." Where does that fit in?
No, it's definitely talking about, well, here's a dual application here. First of all, it's talking about the book of Revelation.
Right.
But it shows how serious God is about his word, period. Right. So messing with God's word is dangerous. But it's got a Jewish connotation, a law type connotation. And it's talking about their name being taken out of the book of life. It doesn't mention the Lamb's book of life. We're written in the Lamb's book of life. So it's not talking about the church. But it is talking about folks in a different dispensation losing, getting their name taken out of the book of life for messing with God's word. That being said, though, like I say, you look at the other application of that, how serious God is about his word. It's not something to be messed with. I mean, this particular passage, I believe, is talking about the book of Revelation. But it covers the whole Bible because there's other places in the Old Testament that warn against messing with God's word. The only one that can mess with God's word is God.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the penknife king, Jehoiakim, he threw it in the fire and God rewrote it and added many like words. And God can do that because he's the author.
So that was great. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Anything else? Anybody else? All right. Well, yeah, I mean, when you're getting here, you're getting in the book of Revelation where it's talking about having a right to the tree of life and stuff like that. We're not looking for a tree of life. Jesus Christ is our tree of life. So it's looking at it. You're looking at a works-based situation dealing with the Jews primarily because they can have a right to the tree of life. But we live forever because of Jesus Christ. Everything's different outside of the church, before and after the church age. Now, you know, you can argue about when the church age started or whatever, but that church age is a total different situation than under the law before it, or the tribulation time after it, or the millennial reign, or before the law when they were under conscience. That being said, though, If a man doesn't have the knowledge of the Lord, he's judged according to Romans by his conscience. So the Zambuli or whoever on the backside of the hill over in another nation that had never heard of Jesus Christ, he'll be judged by his conscience, because man has an idea of right and wrong in their conscience. Matter of fact, you can look at what most of these tribal things are doing, and they're going against their conscience with most of their worship, but they're wanting to worship. But if they're looking for truth, God will send them truth. But nobody's going to be innocent. Because what if they never heard of Jesus Christ? Well, they're judged by their conscience. They're judged like they're in a different dispensation. But anybody that's looking for truth, and God will send it to them, and they can accept Christ in the church age and go to heaven because of the finished work on Calvary. You know, look at the verses, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament sheweth his handiwork. So the guy on the backside of the desert, there's only 75 of them, they're all brother and sister.
Yeah.
You know, they still know there's a God.
Right.
And you know they know there's a God because they worship the sun.
Yep.
They worship the moon. They worship the trees. They worship the creation instead of the creator. That man has an inborn need to worship. And that worship is supposed to be directed toward God through Jesus Christ, and toward Jesus Christ in the church age for what he's done for us, which is God.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be toward the Creator. And every living thing has a desire inborn to worship. I believe the rocks and the trees will worship God.
Yeah.
I do, I believe that. I believe they'll cry out, and Hosanna to the King. I don't know what all they're going to cry out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But, brother? No.
He had black glasses, I think.
What's that?
He had black glasses. I remember him. Was that before Netanyahu?
Man, I'm trying to remember.
No, that's right.
It would seem like it was a shorter name.
Yeah. He had Yasser Arafat.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, Yasser Arafat. Well, there's an interesting lineage of him, too. I'll be serious. Yeah, he's a pagan, heathen, antichrist. But I mean, there's his whole family. Yeah, it's just crazy stuff. I believe so. But there's all kinds of stuff that's tied together these people. I can't remember that guy's name. But anyway, both of those folks. I mean, the Lord unleashed some stuff on this nation because of what our leader was doing, and he unleashed some stuff on their leader over there. He just man, fear the Lord. But anyway, that's it for this morning. Lord willing, we'll get into service here in a little while.